Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? All right, Mamta, this is my wife, and me, Moses Singh. We're going to share our thoughts about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 26, and our text is from verses 36 to 46. Matthew 26 and verses 36 to 46. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him. And he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Then he returned to the disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible for the cup to be taken away, unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more, and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." Brothers, sisters, and friends, we at times get very lonely. We get fearful. We get anxiety in our lives. Jesus was feeling lonely at this time. He was overwhelmed, even sorrowful to the point of death. His disciples could not stay awake with him, especially at the time of his greatest need. They just were so tired. He was vulnerable at this time. He needed time and support from his friends. He prayed once. He prayed twice. He prayed thrice till his heart changed. Sometimes we need to do that when we are in that situation. You've got to pray. You've got to pray. You've got to pray till our hearts change. That's what cross means to us. At this time, I'll have my wife, Mamta, share something about the cross, what that means to her.
Now, I was born in a Hindu family, and we moved to the U.S. when I was 11 years old from England. And growing up, especially in high school, I started to just think more about who I was, because I just didn't seem to fit in, and I could relate to that loneliness, and I was definitely the most lonely in my life during that time. And my parents, they were very traditional. They wanted me to, you know, be the good Indian girl and be obedient to everything that they wanted and conform to the culture. And they didn't understand how things were for me growing up with my friends outside of our family. So in my mind, I was just very conflicted, trying to figure out who was I and what did I want to do. And it was very difficult because my friends wanted me to be with them and, you know, hang out with them and go to parties or whatever, but my parents wanted me to be at home and be obedient to whatever they wanted me to do. And I started just to think and wonder, what is the purpose of my life and what does God want me to do? And that's when I started to turn to God and realize that this is where, as I began to read the Bible, I began to get fed and nourished. And it wasn't in the other things that I had turned to earlier, like my studies or relationships. And I studied the Bible and became a Christian, but when I did that, my family, they disowned me, and I got a lot of persecution. I was disowned by my family. I was locked up. I was beaten. I was getting ready to come to church one day, and my dad grabbed a big butcher's knife from the kitchen and just chased me with that, and it was just horrible. But I realized that that was actually my training ground. Just fast forward about 4 years later, there was a mission team being trained in the country of Sri Lanka, which is an island south of India. And there were four members being trained on this mission team, and one of the sisters wasn't able to get her visa. So being an American, I was sent to see if I could get my visa, and I was able to do that. And I went. I didn't know the other three people. I didn't know the language. I had no training. I got the visa, and then 3 days later, I was gone to Pakistan. And it was an underground church. So the city, I can't disclose that to you, but it was during the time when the Taliban were you know, in full swing at that time. And women couldn't be out on the streets. They had to be covered up from head to toe and travel with either a relative or a family member. And there were a lot of things that I realized that during the time when I was persecuted, that when I was in Pakistan, I was able to be helpful to the women that I was able to study the Bible with. And, you know, there are tons and tons of stories, but one of them I'd want to share is once we were going to study the Bible with this lady, and we were going on a bus, and suddenly the other sister who was with me, she just grabbed my arm. She's like, "Oh, we got to get off." And I didn't know, because I did not understand the language fully at that time. We had just been there for about 3 weeks. And so she just grabbed my arm, and we just literally stepped off the bus, and they set the bus on fire. And apparently there was some strike or something, and they shouldn't have been driving the bus. So we were just stranded there, and we ended up walking the rest of the way to this lady's house that we had gone to study the Bible with. And we had no idea how we were going to get home, or, you know, it was quite far. We couldn't walk home, but it's amazing how God is always preparing you, and God is always training you. And we ended up going to her, making it to her house, studying the Bible with her. And she just happened to have a car, and she sent her driver to drop us back after we were done with the study. But it just shows how that there are things that we can plan, and you know, oftentimes they don't work out the way we want them to, but God already has a plan for us. And the obstacles that we face, you know, are always training ground for us, because God has just amazing things planned for us. And to me, the cross is that I need to totally surrender to God, even through the hard things, whether it's loneliness or persecution or things that are very difficult and seem impossible for us, that if we trust in Him, that His got the better plan for us always.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. A little bit about my story. My grandmother, from my mom's side, she was Muslim. She was probably in her 20s or early 30s when somebody murdered her husband. And she became a widow at a very young age. She was lonely, overwhelmed, anxious. She grabbed my two-year-old mother and her three-year-old brother, and she wanted to jump off the cliff, and she wanted to kill herself with her two little children. But luckily, her brother-in-law from a Muslim background had become Christian. Just the nick of the time he saved her, brought her to a Christian orphanage that was run by American Presbyterian Mission. And there, my mom and her brother grew up in a Christian orphanage. And my mother's mom, my maternal grandmother, was made a women's ministry leader to preach to all the women in the nearby villages. At the same time, my dad's mother, my paternal grandmother, in the hill, also lost her husband to a viral fever at a young age of maybe 20s or early 30s. She comes down to the plane, and guess where she lands up? To the same Christian orphanage. My brother was 3 years old. So I can say my mom and dad knew each other for all their lives. And when they grew up, the grandmothers arranged their marriage. And my parents, they didn't grow up without fathers. But the missionaries told my widowed grandmothers, God is your husband. He told my parents and my uncle, God is your father. So they grew up with memorizing scriptures and growing up in a Christian orphanage. My dad's family were Hindus. So here, from my mom's side, they were Muslims. From my dad's side, they were Hindus, and they're growing up in a Christian orphanage. When we were born with my two siblings, my parents expected us every morning to pray and read Bible and finish the Bible individually. And in the evening, he expected us to have family devotion every night. Our home was full of hospitality. We had so many guests come to our house. Everybody was required to participate in the devotion. I grew up reading Bible from cover to cover multiple times. Then God took me to this prestigious college called IIT, which is like MIT of India. In fact, it's easier to get into MIT with a 7% acceptance rate than to IIT with 1% acceptance rate. Then God brought me to New York, and I was lonely. I was overwhelmed. But God brought me to a church in New York City. God gave me a home where I could be together in a spiritual body. And rest, as you all know, is history. Or may I say, his story, God's story. When you feel overwhelmed, when you feel out of your wits, just like Jesus, pray. 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 And maybe sinful people like us, we have to pray fourth time also. Or the fifth time. But never, ever give up praying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your son who was brutally murdered in front of your eyes. I cannot imagine somebody doing that to my daughters, our daughters. But you watched your own son being spat at, whipped, put those nails in his feet and hands to be mistreated. Why? Because you love us so deeply. Help us, Lord, that when we are reminded by Satan, when Satan shows us our past, we look up to you and show Satan his future. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of conviction, to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who showed us the way, way to surrender, way to love, way to be completely humble. Lord, as we take this bread and we take this wine, help us to remember Jesus' body and Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross so we can be pure and blameless in your sight. He separated our sins as far as east is from the west. He's put our sins in the deepest of oceans so that we can be pure in your eyes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The communion will be served on the tables.